Amen. I want you to turn your Bible tonight, the book of Matthew chapter 5 with me. We got folks over there praying. Now, folks, you pray anytime you want to in here. Amen. We didn't hand you a menu when you walked through the door. That means that if God moves your soul to pray, why, pray. Good night. Matthew 5, Matthew chapter number 5. And if you want to come down and pray with these folks, you come right on. You let the Spirit of God lead you. Before I'm done, everybody may be in the altar praying. I'll be the only one up here preaching. That's fine, too. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's start reading with verse number 13. Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Lord, add your blessing to your word. A lot of people have the idea that they need to be one thing in church and something else in their citizenship. A few decades ago, one woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare set about to have prayer removed from public school. She succeeded. One woman. I wasn't saved when that happened. I didn't know the Lord. But the people who were saved sat down while one woman had prayer removed from the school system. Now, how many of you tonight believe the school system's better off tonight than it was when they were praying in school decades ago? One woman. One woman. There are people right now in this country, it's called the Tea Party movement, and I'm not endorsing anybody's movement. I'm using it as an illustration. These people are beginning to have an effect upon the political landscape in the country. They are definitely having an effect. They are causing people to lose their seats. Incumbents now in West Virginia, been up there for, shucks, I don't know, 12, 13 times he'd been reelected. And he has lost his seat. Republicans and Democrats are losing their seats. The motivation for the Tea Party, I personally believe, is that they want to make America back to what it used to be, a free democratic country where a man can go out and make a living and so forth. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. I, as a minister of the gospel, am concerned about the truth. I'm concerned about the propagation of the Word of God. That's what my life is about. Just the other day, I observed a discussion taking place about a contemporary Christian singer. I don't know her, wouldn't know if I bumped into her on the street. But she has just recently come out and declared that she's a lesbian. And the thing is not so much the fact that somebody declares that he or she is a sodomite. It's the fact that people who call themselves Christians were discussing it. You see, that's the issue. There is no discussion, never has been, never will be. If you halfway believe the Bible, then, you know, there's nothing to discuss. It's disgusting. And it's a perversion that's condemned from Genesis to Revelation. But it gives you an idea of the temperature, the spiritual temperature of the church. Now, just a few months ago, 63 million people, and I'll never forget this figure, 63 million people voted for Barack Hussein Obama. 55 million people voted for John McCain. Obama won the presidency. He now is the president of the United States of America. He has a background in black liberation theology and Muslim. He was trained in a madrasa in Indonesia. A madrasa is a Muslim school. Therefore, he has ties to the Muslim community and he has ties to black liberation theology. If you'll remember back in 2008, his reverend was constantly being quoted the soundbite where he calls upon God to so-and-so to America. I won't say the word. But in any event, he came out of that church and said that in all the 20-plus years that he'd been in that church, he'd never heard anything like that before. If you believe that, you can stand on your head. But the bottom line is that 63 million people went to the polls and they voted for this man. And there's no doubt in my mind that out of that 63 million people, a bunch of those people go to church every Sunday. They voted for a man who, in all intents and purposes, is an Antichrist. He may wind up being the Antichrist. I don't know that to be true yet, but he is certainly an Antichrist. That's an indication of a bad, bad problem. Bad problem. Somebody said, well, now, you know, I think we ought to separate our religion and our politics. Well, then why don't you separate your workplace from your faith? You're one thing in church and something else on the workplace. And I've heard that, too. I remember when I worked at the aluminum company one time. I worked at Alcoa for a few years and quit. And everybody said I was crazy when I quit. And it was a good job. It was a good job. Aluminum company paid good wages, and I had it was a good job. But they handed me a broom. And I didn't last 2 weeks with a broom. Anything but a broom. Give me a job. Give me something to do. But anyway, I quit the aluminum company. But before I did, one night in the shower, I'd finished my shift. And I swear words, they're gone. Shift. Well, I went to work at the aluminum company. We built pots, and I had a thing doing this right here. I enjoyed the dickens out of it because I had a job. I worked. But if I have to kill a clock, you might as well shoot me. I can't handle it. That's why I worked on the line as a mechanic. I stayed busy, and I did just fine. But as I was getting ready to take a shower, I heard the worst blaspheming and blackguarding and cussing I'd ever heard. I mean, it's the same thing I'd heard in the hell holes of the world. I looked down to see where it was coming from, and lo and behold, it was coming out of the mouth of a man who, when I grew up as a boy, I used to visit Blount County a lot, the area called Louisville. How many know where Louisville, Tennessee is? I used to go to church out in there a lot, Ballard's Chapel. This has nothing to do with Ballard's Chapel. Nothing. This is nothing to do with Ballard's Chapel. In fact, there's a lot of good people at Ballard's Chapel. But I used to go to homecomings there and Bible school there when I was a kid, so I grew up in that area. And this man was well known in that area around there. And he was a preacher. I grew up thinking, man, that's a preacher. Everybody told me when I was a boy, he's a preacher. He's a minister of the gospel. And I saw him that night, and I thought to myself, son, if you're a preacher, you don't have a clue what the gospel of Christ and salvation is about. If what you are in the church doesn't go far enough with you to the workplace, you got nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing. From that moment on, I had nothing but contempt for him. He's been long dead. My wife was pregnant with my daughter 40 years ago. So that's been a long time. Long time. Long. He's long gone to his reward. I got saved in 1973. When I got saved in 1973, I came out of hell. I had a bad past. I had a bad record. I got saved, though. It changed me. I mean, something had happened inside me that was profound. And you know, whether people understand that or not, I can't make people understand that. If you've never been born again, you don't understand that. You never will understand that. You never will. You've been raised in church. You've been christened. You've been baptized. You've been confirmed. You know all of your doctrine. You know about it. You've been taught church history. If you've never been born again, you do not have a clue what I'm talking about. 1973, I got saved. God started working on my soul immediately. Immediately. Because what happened to me was real. He changed my desires. He changed from where I used to go to. He changed me. My mouth was no longer a filthy, blaspheming mouth. I had praise coming out of my soul for the Savior. Church, I got saved. I went to that church, and it wasn't there. I wasn't there 2 weeks before I could begin to sense we had religious people in that church, and they were lost. They were lost. I've been a pastor a long time, folks. Long time. Been preaching the Word a long time from the pulpit. And I'm telling you that the last time we had a national election, when 63 million people in this country went to the polls, they voted their belly. They voted their belly. Their God was their belly. They felt like Barack Obama would get them a better job or their income would be better. And so therefore they left their religion at the church, and when they went to the polls, they voted for Mr. Obama. They voted their belly. They voted their belly. And there's an awful lot of people out there right now who like to have revivals. They want to have revival meetings. They schedule them in the spring and in the fall, and they go to camp meetings and have all that stuff. And I look at these people when they have their revivals and their camp meetings, and I say to myself, who'd you vote for in this last election? That's just the way I'm made. That's the way I tick. That's what makes me tick. Who'd you vote for? You think God's going to give you a revival? Let me tell you how to give you a revival, okay? You want to know how to have a revival in your church? Those people who went and voted for an Antichrist, confess it and get on their face and get right with God, God will give them a revival. You'd see the power of God sweep through that church like you wouldn't believe. Now, I want you to think about it a minute. This Tea Party movement that the Mr. President cast an aversion upon by using the term teabagger. Some of you went home and looked it up. One man told me this past Sunday. He said, I could not believe that what he had said about these people. Well, he said it. I heard him say it. All right. But in any event, these people are out there for their own purposes, their own motives. And I'm sure many Christians are out there with them. But it's not a Christian movement. All right. But where do you see the church? What's the church doing? Let me tell you something. What are you doing about where your kids go to school? The textbook they pick up when their biology textbook says that the Bible is a myth. Do you think you can stick them in a place like that, then bring them in here on Sunday and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and expect the kids to believe? Really? Seriously? There's something wrong going on here. There's something bad wrong with the thinking of so-called Christians in our country. And I can't believe that these people who say they're born again, they say they're saved, can go out and vote like that and the Holy Ghost doesn't convict them of it. He convict me. I can't say something. I can't do anything. He won't let me get away with anything. He smacks my soul, but sometimes a word comes out of my mouth that's not just exactly the way it ought to be. I shouldn't be saying what I'm saying. It may not be a cuss word. It's just that maybe I'm not looking at a thing the way I ought to be looking at it. And the Holy Ghost will smack my soul no sooner I get it out of my mouth. Say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I knew it before I ever said it. I knew I shouldn't have said it. And I went ahead and said it because my flesh is strong, but I'm sorry I said it. Forgive me for saying it." None of you ever did that before, have you? I can fellowship with a man and have communion with a man or a woman who's real. Okay? Because I don't expect anybody to be perfect. Nobody in here perfect. You think you're perfect? We got problems. I can fellowship with anybody who's real. What I see is what I get. Okay? You're real. That's why I've told you 1,000 times, you want to follow me, and where you want to follow me. I never look behind me and see who's following me, because I'm not going anywhere I care about anybody seeing. Matter to me. I'm not going anywhere. So, the church today is a put-on farce, an empty shell, a hypocrite hellhole that has no fundamental basis, no real beliefs, and nothing to put it together. It'll vote its gut. It'll vote its belly. Do you realize that he has appointed a woman to the Supreme Court of the United States of America that kicked military recruiters off of the university? Your military? Kicked them off. A woman who has said that she believes that there should be some great restrictions to freedom of speech, who's a big pusher of hate laws and hate speech. Do you realize when these so-called Christians voted their gut that they put a man in office that if he gets reelected for 8 years, he'll be putting Supreme Court justices on the bench? Do you realize that when a man becomes a president, he has enormous power? Do you realize that the one thing that people in this country who have any faith and belief at all should be praying for and hoping for is that this fall, enough of the scum is kicked out. Enough of the garbage. And I'm not talking about just Democrats. There's a bunch of junk Republicans up there too. Enough of them are kicked out to where the last 2 years, and hope it is the last 2 years of his office, that he can't get a bill passed, he can't get anything done, because he's got enough opposition up there to stop him in every way. Now that's your hope for the midterm election. And then God, Lord willing, that the next time a national, if we're here, the next time a president, the next time the presidential election takes place, find out what they stand for, man. Don't run out there and vote the party line. I get so tired of people saying, well, the Democrats for the working man. You know something, folks? I'm not arguing politics in here tonight, because like I say, there's a bunch of Republicans, you know, Specter the Defector. There's others around like that. There's all kinds of Republicans that I wouldn't give you a dime for. But the truth of the matter is, look and find out what that fellow or that woman believes. Find out what they believe. There's something going on right now in this country that can make a difference, that could help, that could make all the difference in the world, that could change some things if people really take seriously your responsibility to be the salt of the earth. Now think about it a minute tonight. What does salt do? Or preserves what? Salt of the what? Salt of the church? Or salt of the world? The world, not the church. He said you're the salt of the world. What's that mean? That means that you should be having a good effect on the world. You're the salt of the world, salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Your place in the world should be that the church should be in such spiritual condition, contact with God, that it has a good effect wherever it is. How many of you believe tonight that that's what's happening in America? You believe the church is having an effect in America? Not for a minute. All the evangelistic campaigns and all the camp meetings and all the revivals in this nation hadn't done one thing to stem the tide, the overwhelming flow of wickedness and godlessness and apostasy and perversion that's coming upon you like a tsunami. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Most people will not do anything until their own home is affected. When they are personally affected, then they'll wake up and realize what's going on. They're taking your liberty and your freedoms. They're taking this nation and getting it ready for a one-world government. Do you know what happened in Greece? Do you know what the euro, the European Union, the dollar, it's not a dollar, but the euro. That's what it's called, a euro. Instead of a dollar, it's a euro, all right? Well, here's the thing with that now. But here's the thing. The United States does not share its currency with Canada and Mexico. It shares it with no one. The currency, the United States of America, is the United States currency. We directly affect the value of that currency. If we work hard and save and do what we're supposed to do and have a fiscal government that's the way it ought to be, our currency improves in value. And here's the problem with the euro. The euro is the currency of Greece, Germany, Spain, France, and whatever other nations are part of that. Margaret Thatcher fought tooth and toenail to keep Great Britain out of the euro. Here's the thing, though. Germany works hard. The Germans say, you don't retire here till you're 67. The Germans have said to Greece, we work hard down here. We save our money. We're efficient. And we're using the same currency you're using. You lay around up there and won't strike a lick and expect the government to take care of you and create this big government. And the big government now is going belly up and it's going broke and we got to bail you out. That's exactly what Germany's saying right now. Okay? That's what's going on with the euro. Problem is that Spain and France and the rest of those European countries are getting pulled down with Greece. Here's the problem. When this happens, something like this, where this money starts pulling down the European nations, then it's going to affect us. There's no way to keep from it. It's going to affect us. So what happens? Then you have another call for a one world currency and an overseer and a one world government. In other words, the only way the world now is going to be able to survive is to have a one world utopia. And that's exactly what the Illuminati is doing. And that's what's going on in the White House. And that's what's going on in politics in this country. And that's exactly, and brainwashed Christians are going to the polls and voting for Antichrist. Now, that'll make a lot of people mad at me, and I don't care if you get mad or not. This has burned me up. I can't hack it. I can't stand that kind of stuff. I wasn't raised religious. I'm not religious. Fact is, I still hate religion. I don't have a use for religion, but I love Jesus. Because He came into my heart in 1973. I'm not tied to anybody's religion. I'm not tied to anybody's church. I'm not tied to anybody's movement. Don't owe any schools or any fellowships or any circle. I don't owe them a dime. Don't cater to them. Don't seek their approval. Don't want it. Ask no quarter. Give no quarter. Amen. Because I know that wasn't any evangelistic group got me saved. I was in the blackest hell. I was as lost could be. I was headed for the pit. I heard no voice of God. I was in my sin. I was lost without God. And all of a sudden, light came down and flooded into my soul. A voice started speaking to me from above. Somebody bigger and greater than me got a hold of my heart, and He called me by His grace and saved my soul. Amen. Man, did He ever change me. Overnight, people looked at me and said, "You ain't the same one. Something's happened to you." I don't know how many people told me right after I got saved. They came up to me and they said, "I wish I had what you got." You know, and I'm not trying to brag on anything. They just said, "I've seen something in you. There's something in you real." That's what they were looking for, something real. Not this constant back and forth and rededicate and go back and fornicate and rededicate and go back and get drunk, rededicate and go back to the dope hell holes and rededicate and in and out and in and out. Amen? Yeah? Haven't you been in church long enough to know that you see a lot of that? Wire the carpet out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Amen. The Apostle John says they went out from us because they were not of us. They went out from us, it might be made manifest that they're not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us. Paraphrasing it, I couldn't quote it verbatim. That's what he said. He said it went out to prove they weren't of us. In plain words, if what you got was real, it'll stick. It'll stick. And glory to God. He's my God tonight. He's my God greater tonight than He was last night. I love Jesus tonight, and I love Him more tonight than I loved Him yesterday. Heaven is sweeter now than it ever has been. I know whom I have believed, persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. All these words I said to you tonight may be as vain as they can be, because we may get called out of here in a heartbeat. We may leave here before we walk out that back door. And the church is going. Now, religion will still be in America. They'll still have their crosses and their organs, and they'll have their choirs and their TV ministries, and they'll go right on like nothing's happened. But when the church is raptured out, it'll be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I know that's true. And I look for that day. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's what I do. I look at people and I say to myself, they say, "Preacher, I got saved." I say, "I'm glad to hear that, but my heart's saying I hope you did." I look at them and I say, "I'm glad to hear that. Glory to God." But my heart's saying, "Well, I'll watch you." Now, does that mean? No. You know them by their fruits. I don't want to give you a false assurance. I've had two or three women say to me, "Yeah, I went to Lawson's church and he made me feel like I'd lost. He caused me to doubt my salvation." No, I didn't do it. No, sir. No, sir. I got saved in 1973 and I've never doubted my salvation. Now, I'm not throwing off on people who have a problem with things. Sometimes they do. But if a man can make you doubt your salvation, you better check up very carefully on what you got. Now, you can get in situations where your faith wavers. You can. You can get smacked down into some hole. You can. Things can happen to you to make you wonder what's going on. Where are you? Head spinning and your whole faith and your life is spinning. I understand that. That can happen to people. It does happen. But my friend, I know whom I have believed. What happened to me was not religious. It was profound. And I've never doubted it a moment since then. Never. And I always know where to take Satan. I take him to a living room on Wynwood Drive, on a sofa in that living room. I take him right there, and he never goes in that room with me. He won't go in there. I'll take him to the front door, and he'll say, "I'll see you later." Because when I walk in that room and I sit on that sofa, it was there about my head. And I said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul." And man, when I raised my head up, I was a different person. Everything had changed. Wasn't the same. And he knows it. And he knows he can't do anything about that. It makes a difference how much he lies to me, tries to trick me, or whatever he does. He can't change that. That's fixed in time. And the proof is the changing. Fixed in time. I wish I could get some people to understand how dark it was, how lost I was. Really, there wasn't any joy in my soul. There wasn't any light in my life. I had no song in my heart. The Ten Commandments and God and the church and Christ and all of it was just a bunch of garbage, as far as I was concerned. Just a bunch of junk. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, we'll say, "Well, he went crazy." Well, that's glory to God. I've been crazy for 40-something years. I want to stay crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Isn't that something? How many of you tried to persuade somebody, have tried to get them to understand what's going on? How many of you have had them say back to you, "Well, I believe"? How many of that had that said? Man, I preached to those mechanics over there at Snyder Motors when I got saved. I mean, I was up there I was a line mechanic. You know, a line mechanic is the guy to get your car, takes it back there, raises it up on the lift, and does work on it, and then turns around and brings it back out. That's my job. Man, I went to singing and preaching and carrying on over there. They thought I was crazy. And didn't do any. You know, it's not. They're all religious. Everybody's got a little religion. And I don't know how many said, "Well, my mama took me to church. My grandfather was a preacher." Well, what's that got to do with you? You see what I mean? You can't get them to see what they don't know. And this is why we have that unction of the Spirit that I talked about last Wednesday night. It's that unction you have in you that nobody can take from you. And it's that presence of the Holy Ghost that witnesses what's happened to you. And when you know you're looking at somebody who thinks they have it and they don't. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you're not trying to be the judge and the high sheriff of heaven. You just know they don't have it. They just don't know what you're talking about. They're religious, good people, but they don't have it. Well, by the grace of God, if I'm still around in November, I'm going to polls. And if I'm still around 2 years later when we elect a president, and I hope that the Almighty raises up a viable candidate, somebody that's halfway decent, somebody that holds some of the principles that I do. You know, I don't expect to get somebody to run for office that believes everything the way I believe. If they did, they'd get up there and start preaching. Hallelujah. That'd be all right. Wouldn't it be something if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court had him put his hand on the Bible and he swore him in as the president, and then he looked into the camera and said, "I want to tell you something out there, America. You need to be saved." We've had some Christian presidents. We've had some genuine believing presidents. We have. That were real believers in the Lord Jesus. We have. This nation has been blessed with real believers, real Christians. But we're in pretty bad shape right now. Pray about it, all right? Well, the legacy you're going to hand to your children, what are you going to give to them? See? What are you giving to me? I got a granddaughter now that's graduating from high school, so I'm on up the line. See, I've been around a while. When your grandchildren start graduating from high school, that means you've been here a little while. Graduating, Father, in Thy name we pray. I pray what I've said tonight's been helpful. I pray folks take to heart what I'm saying, Lord. God, we're not one thing in the church and then go out and vote something else in a voting booth. God, none of us married to some political party. I'm not married to the Republicans, and I'm not married to the Democrats, Lord. I'm not married to any of them. I don't owe them a thing. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, let these words that I've given out, I gave them from my heart, Father. I spoke my heart. Let them help us. Let them help us get our vision together here, to get things together and see things the way we ought to see them, and get ready, and then fulfill our obligation and responsibility this fall when we go to the polls. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Yes, sir.